Welcome everybody to So You Wanna Get Fat podcast. I am your host, not your typical chef, Brian Sau, with my wonderful co-host, amazing smelling co-host, by the way. You always smell very good. His name is Chef Paul Frenchie, the animal, Denamiel.
As long as you don't smell like an animal.
Actually, I should let you introduce yourself.
No, no, you did a good job. We're good.
I did a good job?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll just leave this in.
We're good.
Okay, all right.
How are you liking my shirt?
I really like your shirt, you know, 80s vibe, you know, the cassette tapes. A lot of people these days don't know what a cassette tape is. They don't know what a pencil and a cassette tape has to do with
each other. Yes, I've seen the meme too.
Guys, welcome to another episode. We are coming to you from our new headquarters, located where, Chef Paul?
Oh, right on Restaurant Row.
Yes.
Right above my restaurant.
Right, and under.
How convenient.
Sandwiched. We are sandwiched in Paul. All things Paul.
Yes, we are. We're between my workspace and my living space.
Yes.
Literally.
Literally. We have known each other, I just realized, for
since
almost,
season one.
Since season one of Beat Bobby Flay, available now in the US on Max. We're both on season one.
That's HBO, right?
HBO Max, which has renamed to Max.
But wasn't Cinemax turn into Max? I'm getting confused.
I'm getting confused too. Who cares?
Does that all even exist anymore?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
Who knows? Let us know in the comments below.
Let's to keep
but
up.
But we are coming to you from our new headquarters. You said Hell's Kitchen, but for those who don't know or are not familiar with Hell's Kitchen, where is Hell's Kitchen located?
Hell's
exactly?
Kitchen is basically what used to be Lincoln Center. That's how north it goes, up to 42nd Street.
Okay.
And then, so we're still in what the original part of Hell's Kitchen still looks like. And then Lincoln Center has become Lincoln Center, but we're technically it's Gramercy, Clinton, and the Theater District. It all gets interwoven. I'm not sure exactly where I am.
But it's wonderful to be here.
I'm sure it is for you.
Yeah.
Look at the company well, you keep.
For me, you're the one that has the convenience of I literally go to you every single time.
But you still had me waiting here.
Yeah, because
you had to prep all this
gear. I'm working
gear.
And you get to sit there and look and smell pretty.
No, oh, by the way, yeah. This, what I'm wearing is, because you're such a fan, is Bleu de Chanel.
Bleu Chanel?
Bleu de Chanel. That's the proper pronunciation.
All right.
Took me a lifetime to figure out, because you know, not every perfume works the same way on everybody.
Yes.
You got to figure out your body chemistry.
Yeah.
I love that kind of shit.
Fortunately, I don't smell that bad naturally, so I never wear cologne.
I don't get that close to you.
Yeah, true. We can change that later. With that said, we are in our new digs, and guess what we got? Look at that. Look at my backside. Look at our backside.
We got matching chairs.
We got matching chairs. These are super comfy chairs.
What a couple thing to do.
Yeah.
Matching chairs.
Yes. I am digging the new chairs. Paul, let's get into the first topic of today. And you actually chose today's topic, which is you wanted to educate our viewers on the word, viewers and listeners. This podcast is still video only on Chef Brian Sau Raw for now until we start our new channel. With that said, you wanted to educate our viewers and listeners to the word restaurant. We kind of touched upon it a little bit about service in our first podcast episode where we were reacting to Lewis Rosman's video about tipping. Let me silence my phone. That would be the professional thing to do.
I should do the same.
Lewis Rosman was talking about why tipping sucks. We kind of concluded he doesn't know what the fuck.
That he sucked.
Yeah, that he sucked. but you actually spoke about how a server, particularly in Europe, has to work their way up. So let's take this opportunity and educate everyone on what the word restaurant means.
Well, over here, the word restaurant covers everything from a Mickey D's to like fine dining.
Right.
Everything's labeled a restaurant. And then, so you don't know what you're getting just by, oh, I'm going to a restaurant. Well, what type of restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in Europe, there's that, or in France, I can't say Europe, but in France, and the only reason I'm using France, not because I'm French, but restaurant is like a French word.
Yeah.
And it dictates the establishment that you're walking into and your expectations. So
I think that's very important what an expectation is for the type of establishment you're going into. All right, so carry
like
on.
Over here, we call everything a restaurant, from Mickey D's, like I said, to like fine dining.
Applebee's
is a restaurant.
Like, my restaurant.
All right, exactly. Which is not the case,
yeah.
Right? But for some reason, there's a distinction made between a diner and a restaurant. Mm. So how come a diner's not a restaurant? Right. So how come we know that a diner's not a restaurant and a restaurant is a restaurant? What's the difference there? Right?
Right.
You know, so a diner, you know, you have expect, exactly.
Yeah.
A diner, you have expectations. Yeah. You know the type of service you're going to get. Right. And you know the type of food you're gonna get.
Yeah, so a diner is typically about, you know, you're not necessarily looking for the highest quality. Obviously, that's gonna be a bonus, but when you say diner—
No, you can get high quality, that's not the question.
Well, what I'm saying, the expectation.
But the price point isn't gonna be over you know, through the roof, right? But like a restaurant can be, you know what I mean?
Okay. So what are these classifications of different types of dining establishments
that you wanna clarify? It goes from cafe,
okay,
where you're expected, where your expectations from the establishment and from your server is proper coffee service, croissants, like small breakfast bites to eat, and usually they have a small bar, you know, and then that's as much as they cater.
That serves alcohol.
Yeah, a little bit. Some cafes are like very limited, but it's usually tends to be a little bar. Like the you know, breakfast turns into the bar afternoon, right? No, you have your bistro, then you have your brasserie, and then you have your restaurant.
Okay, so
and
let's
each step.
Let's do one by one, right?
So let's make sure I don't confuse brasserie and bistro. I think brasserie is the next step over the cafe.
Okay,
and then you have limited choices of food. It's usually like comfort foods, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have much choice in what you're gonna get. You know, it's usually like neighborhood joint, a lot of like, you know, like workers coming in for lunch and they just sit down and they get fed. Brasserie would be the next step where you have a more expectation.
No, you mean a bistro.
Bistro.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so bistro. Cafe, brasserie,
bistro.
Okay.
Or is it the other way around?
All right, let's, you know what? That's what we got Google for.
So type in eating establishment echelon.
Eating establishment. How the fuck do you spell echelon?
E-C-H-E-L-L-O-N.
Echelon. Echelon, okay. The eating establishment.
Was that too complicated a word for Google?
Let's see.
Or just go France, French eatery classifications.
Okay, French eatery
classifications.
I don't think many people Google this because nothing's brasserie, bistro. Okay, here we go. Okay.
So let's
decrypting French restaurants, brasseries, bistros, table d'hôte.
Table d'hôte is I forgot about that. Okay. That's more like the one I was just saying.
I
like
you just pronounced it properly.
Table d'hôte. Yeah. Well, basically you sit down. You don't get to choose what you want. Right. You sit down and they just start dropping food. Okay. And it's like usually communal.
Okay, so it's saying number one, the first one that is popping up. And you know what, before I forget, let me give Jordan this link so he can make sure he includes it. The first one, it says cafe/brasserie.
Right? I was right, okay.
Subtype, brasserie traditionnelle.
Mm-hmm. Brasserie traditionnelle, okay. Where you have like, you can go all across France and you're the expectations on the choice on the menu are going to be the same.
Okay.
Right.
And then bistro or bistrot. I don't know. There's
bistro.
Bistro. Okay. There's a T at the end of this.
Yeah, spell, but you know, so it's silent.
Okay. Gotcha. Right. And then the next one will be the restaurant gastronomique.
Gastronomique. Yeah.
So now let's talk bistro. So we already defined what.
So bistro is of a more casual experience than a restaurant.
Okay.
So you know you're not gonna have your linens, you're not gonna have your real silverware, you're not gonna have your echelon of wait staff as well, and you're not going to have like the wine service decanting. Gotcha. You're not gonna have it's more casual. Okay.
And you mentioned echelon of wait service, so we're talking food runner, busboy, server. Right. There's usually in a high-end restaurant, there is a cocktail waitress in addition to the bartender. Right.
You can go through the whole. There's a whole ton of layers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're expected in France to graduate from cafe to table d'hôte to brasserie, bistro to your restaurant. And then you might be a waiter at a brasserie or a bistro. But you ain't gonna be one at the next step. You might be like a food runner at the next one, so you can learn what to to do.
Gotcha.
So you don't just pop in and say, oh, can I get a job? He's like, well, show me what you've done. Mm-hmm. You have to grow. There's expectations of knowledge.
Right.
Like you have to know your wines, you have to know your foods, you need to know your locales, especially if it's a neighborhood joint.
Particularly in France or in Europe.
Yeah.
The region from where, you know, they don't put Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon, which is the grape varietal, in Europe. They go by region.
Yeah.
And that is a whole nother, that was the hardest class
even,
in CIA.
Even I get. Listen, before we even move on, I'm telling, like, all these subjects, I don't pretend to be an expert on anything.
Oh yeah, same here. No, right? No. Yeah.
We are 100%. We are agreeing that we are two big dummies.
Oh,
right?
we're both idiots for right? sure. No, I
because,
agree with you.
Like, because what I learned from other people, like doing podcasts and everything, and I don't you know better than I do. I don't look at their but apparently, like, you know, people take us to heart.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, you know, I was doing some research on some new channels for us to react to, and there's one channel called The Mythical Kitchen. And I was checking their channel out for the first time, wanted to see if this is something right. good for us. From what I understand, because I only watched half of one episode, the guy who hosts it is not a professional chef. He is just an enthusiast. But the level of knowledge this guy has far surpasses you and I. Do you know what I mean? Like the
wait
way
a second, we're not stepping on Guga's.
What do you mean?
Well, let me meet Guga first.
No. Well, I mean, listen, I think it's fair to say, like, Guga's level of knowledge specifically for beef and protein probably
surpasses us.
Surpasses definitely. Us.
Because right? he's been able to dabble and play with, like, we've never had that luxury.
Right.
We've never had the luxury to waste.
And, you know, yes, we didn't have the luxury
to waste. Not waste in a bad way.
Right.
Like, ways of being able to, like, experiment.
Right.
We were never allowed to experiment.
Exactly. And that is what I came to realize is in our field of being a professional working chef, actually what makes us stand apart from the average citizen who's just cooking at the average person cooking in their home is that we have the benefit of actually of the repetition.
Repetition, right? Which is key to success.
Yeah. Which is the key to one of the most important things of the restaurant, I'm sorry to cut you off, is the consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Repetition reeks of consistency after.
Yeah.
It's the reward. When I have customers, I can't believe I'm like, we're celebrating 40 years of business.
Congrats.
And when you thank you.
Oh, and you're gonna put out some special merch.
Oh right? Yeah, we're gonna do some merch.
Yeah. So look out for that. We'll shout it out, guys.
I'm not saying which day we're celebrating because it's gonna be a whole year thing. Mm-hmm. 40 years is a whole year thing, right? But when you have customers, I've been coming because don't forget, 40 years in this location, right? But
damn.
But we were on the Upper East Side for a good 45 years before that.
And that was opened by your pops, Marcel, right?
Well, his older brother.
Oh, his older brother.
There's a huge age gap between my dad and his older brother.
Rest almost, in peace,
almost,
Marcel.
Almost like a generation, yeah. That'd say, oh, I've come to your restaurant for so many years and it tastes the same. That's one compliment. Mm-hmm. Then there's another compliment where, like, I came here like 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's another compliment. Mm-hmm. But when I get customers, I says, let's say that we've been coming to your family's restaurants and this dish is exactly the same as I remember it 50, 60, when I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had to reproduce that consistency.
Right.
That's what I like to hear.
That's special. That is special.
That's super special.
So we're veering off a little bit. Let's go back to the meaning of a restaurant. So cafe, brasserie, bistro. Now restaurant, you know, we touched upon it, but can you elaborate a little more to you? What is a restaurant? What
a
does
restaurant
that mean? At least in France.
Should have an educated service, an educated staff, kitchen, front of house, back of the house, all of it, right? I mean, from top to bottom.
Right.
From the greeter
right.
to all the way to the dishwasher. I mean, you go into these restaurants, like the dishwashing section alone is impressive.
Right.
You know, and there's hierarchy in that as well. You have the guy, you have your pot and pan guy, you have the guy who's in charge of the machine, right? And he doesn't want anybody touching his machine, mm-hmm. right? And then you have the people, like, if there's a lot of volume, then you have people like literally
sorting dishes.
Sorting
like
out
a
dishes.
Dedicated sorter.
I mean, it's insane.
But you know, let's also talk a little bit more about what defines a restaurant in the topic we're talking about.
Expectations. It goes back to expectations.
China.
China, silverware. knowledge in the service of how to serve somebody.
Right.
You know,
which actually
French service, Russian service. Yeah,
yeah. So, for example, one small little detail is you typically don't want to drop the plate backhanded, right? So if I'm the customer, you want the plate to come open-handed mm-hmm. this way. You don't want this hand to come this way where it's backhanded
yeah.
toward, you know, little details like that. Table service, tablecloths, right? When they change the tablecloths, the bare table is never exposed.
Exactly, it's never exposed. There's usually a tablecloth underneath that,
yeah.
and then there's usually a dampener, mm-hmm. and then there's usually another tablecloth, so that for during service, you don't see that. So right. they usually have like multiple layers, yep. which creates also, you don't even realize or appreciate, but when you go to those restaurants, like the table is like soft, it's like, there's no clinking, there's
right.
no-
Right, like you listen, could, you know,
there's
you
no
don't
that.
Hear that.
You right. wouldn't hear that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that goes a long way. And that's
I find it to be art. I find it to be
ballet. Oh yes.
I find it to be fascinating.
The hospitality business is an art.
Yeah.
You know, that people and there are people that are good artists and there are people who are not.
Right. So what would you consider your restaurant? Because I bring this up.
I would be I had a great friend. I have a couple of good friends, and that's how they because they used to come to our family restaurant as young people out, you know, young adults, they went on to be very successful restaurant chefs, restaurant owners. Like one of my favorite examples is Chef LaMonaco from Porterhouse. He used to come to my father's restaurant all the time as a young person. And that's how we dated. You know, it was your first introduction. You know, our restaurant was like your introduction to French cuisine restaurant, but on an affordable, more accessible level.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't say that we are like a four-star restaurant or any star restaurant. I like to classify myself as French comfort food, so it doesn't scare you away. It was like people's like French food, you serve French food, and it kind of scares people.
Yeah.
They think it's gonna be super fancy. They won't be able to afford it. It's not approachable. They were not gonna like it.
Right.
I always tell people, like, what, you don't like chicken? You don't like steak?
Yeah.
You don't like, what is it?
So to add to everything you're saying, I bring this up because I do agree. Your place is a full-on restaurant, has tablecloths, has the china, has the silverware, has, you know.
It's a good introduction.
It's a good introduction, I would say. Right. And I don't mean this in insult. I know you're
not. No, but that's what I'm aiming for.
I would say
for.
It's a strong entry-level restaurant.
Yes.
Right? However.
In categorized in France.
Yes.
It's meant to cater to every.
It approachable for the general audience.
And
right?
It was also from one of my tenants went out of business and I took the sign.
Oh, really?
I was like, wait, I measured it. I was looking at it. Wait, this building is 20 feet wide. My building is 20 feet wide. That sign will fit on my building.
Okay, that explains a lot. But then again, I think it's a...
No, but it was... a perfect storm. It fit what I wanted to do, what I wanted to convey. Like French restaurant is a harsh, for the uninitiated, it could be daunting, right?
Right.
But like bistro, it's approachable. It's approachable. But then again, you need to be knowledgeable of that too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. My daughter uses your restaurant became my daughter's first realization of what a fancy restaurant is.
Right.
So, you know, because...
But we all had those restaurants growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like that once a week or that once a month time that where your parents took you out or were going to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know what that meant. That means you had to be behaved.
Yeah.
You had to be properly attired.
Dress decent.
You know...
Although my dad never took us to places like that.
No, my dad did. I have to say, my dad loved... introducing me to other places and how things were done. And he really appreciated successful restaurants in a family format.
Mm-hmm.
Like he loved going to places that were mom and pop stores
mm-hmm.
and to show me expectations, like what he thought were really good restaurants.
Yeah. I fell in love with Western European French restaurant culture because I never got a chance to experience it growing up. It just felt so foreign. My dad would never eat at places like that. The fanciest type of places we would go to are steakhouses, like a Knickerbocker steakhouse, or I don't even know if that's still around, but you know, like a Luger's type of place. That was the extent, which those are nice places. They're not.
As a kid, that's a great introductory. It's a great, but then when you discover quality and you like, wait, like then you go to like a porterhouse, like I mentioned before, that's like,
But my dad always stuck with, you know, the local, I don't want to say it had to be nearby. Yeah, it had to be nearby, you know, Chinese restaurant, Korean restaurant. That was kind of the extent of it for us growing up. Not to say he didn't take us to nicer places, but it was very rare.
But in the day, like I'm talking about the 70s and 80s, I mean, Chinese, you had Chinese restaurants, you had the full gamut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But like those high-end Chinese restaurants, man, were they gorgeous and beautiful. Yeah. I really missed that. Yeah. So the one I went to, if anybody even remembers this, it was the Blue Lotus. It's on 86th Street between 2nd and 3rd.
I've never been, but I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah.
It kind of pushed us because we eventually owned a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I sold it too. Yeah, we actually used to own the oldest Japanese bistro, the first and oldest Japanese bistro in New York City.
Oh, no shit.
Chef was amazing, was a lifer. Like he opened that restaurant and closed the restaurant. He was like a lifer. Great owner, great tenant. Food was amazing. Stuff that was... Wait, we digress now.
Well, we were talking about restaurants. We're just talking about different types of restaurants. And I kind of took us into this direction saying, again, no, I'm not shitting on my parents. We definitely went to our fair share of very nice restaurants. But I was just saying that I never really got to experience the French restaurant culture until much later in life.
Well, I was very lucky that that was our heritage. So we knew people. I mean, it's all about knowing who you know. You're also going to go visit people that are going to make you happy or are going to appreciate you coming there, you know? My father always believed in, you know, sharing the wealth. No, not sharing the wealth, but going to other people's restaurants to show appreciation.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Very cool.
Like, jealousy was not up his... Because our industry was like very jealous in the old days. Very. And now I feel like it has changed now. We're all helping each other a little bit more. Yeah. At least trying.
Yeah, I would definitely say your place is a solid entry-level French restaurant. My place is certainly fast casual, you know? It's a much simpler operation, no table service. It's, you know, self-service, if anything. You order at a counter type of thing. Very different business model.
At the end of the day, all we care about is good food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why like calling everything a restaurant bugs me. You know what I mean? Like McDonald's shouldn't be classified as a restaurant.
Right.
You know,
it's a blanket term in the States particularly though.
But we should be classifying the latter.
I'm trying to think of in Chinese if there is classifications like that, and I really can't think of it. Like,
but, I mean, we are starting. Listen, it's starting here.
Yeah.
I mean, fast casual is a new term. Mm-hmm. It's to make sure fast casual was invented to make sure we're not a fast food joint.
Right.
We're not a Mickey D's.
Right.
We're not a, you know. I guess that's what like Five Guys, Shake Shack. They want, you know,
Chipotle.
Yeah, okay.
I would say they're fast casual.
Right?
I think they started fast casual. Yeah.
I'm sure they paid a lot of money to PR to get that.
To push that. Yeah.
To push that. Because you don't want to be classified. And I understand that.
Fascinating. I'm actually glad we covered this. It was a lot of fun. What do you guys think?
That there was no oomph in that. Fast. I was like, next subject.
No,
some more energy there.
What the fuck are you talking about? We just have like this shit's been filming for 20 minutes already.
Okay.
It's like one third of the podcast right there. There's a lot of ground to cover, buddy. Or what the fuck else do you want to talk about in regards to restaurants?
I think we were too educational there. and not entertaining enough.
No. You let us know. You want us to just get dumber? You guys want us to talk more about dumb shit?
And sure. This is water, people.
Actually, you know what?
This is water.
You know what? That's a great segue to some dumb shit. You want to watch some dumb shit? All right, let's watch some dumb shit, people. All right. So this is my buddy, Oompaville, Caleb. He's based
out Oompaville? As in Oompa, Oompa.
Yeah, well, the name of his channel is Oompa. He has two channels, Oompa TV and Oompaville. It's a buddy of mine. I actually collabed with him once.
This guy?
This guy right now. Oompa right here.
Yeah, good looking guy.
He is a good looking guy. He's pretty cut and ripped too. Yeah. Not that I was paying attention, just, you know, saw it on his socials and shit.
He's got the gay poor mustache though.
So Caleb, I love his channel. I follow his channel, and he did a video on the pink sauce lady. Are you familiar with the pink sauce lady?
Zero.
All right.
Why you keep asking me? You know I don't know shit. I don't watch any of this crap.
Because I'm trying to build up to it on a podcast, you know, a little suspense. All right, you just had to kill it, huh? I want to give a shout out to Caleb because he started a candy company called Sour Boys. I just picked some up.
Ooh, pop that open.
Yeah, yeah. So Sour Boys candy.
What's special about his?
Well, he wanted to...
Oh, see, now I put you on the spot to sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to expand into other areas of business, and he loves candy, and he just started a candy company because he loves candy and he wanted to make the best candy. Yeah, there's an actual whole story about how this candy company came to be and how he got scammed by somebody who built him a machine. We'll react to that at some point. It's actually a fascinating story. But I wanted to support him. I wanted to buy some of his candy. So here you go. Shout out to Sour Boys. I bought this with my own money. Caleb did not send this to me. In fact, he probably doesn't even know I bought it, which is okay.
It doesn't taste fake.
It's also not overly sweet.
Right?
Balance. It's also not overly sour. You would expect like this type. Not. I'm not saying I wasn't expecting it to be sour because it's called, the brand is called Sour Boys. It's just when you look at this candy, I would expect it to be much more sour. I kind of like it.
Can't like it. You can eat too much of that though.
Yeah, easily. Yes. Oompa recently made a video about the pink sauce lady, and I want you to check this out because—
So we're reacting to a reaction again?
Again, yes. Well, that's what we do. We react to reactions, yeah.
Okay.
That's how I built this, you know, built my channel.
Wait, what? And I'm piggybacking off of you now.
Guys, we will start our own channel, I promise, but for now, we'll just let the animal continue to piggyback off of me. This video kind of displays the worst parts of social media fame and how you have to be careful with it. But the reason why I picked this is because it has to do with a food product. So let's watch this.
Okay.
Do you remember pink sauce? Well, I certainly do because I'm also in the food manufacturing business. Go to sour.gg, buy candy. All right. Back in June of 2022, a woman named Veronica Shaw, aka Chef P, I think. I'm not exactly sure.
Put Terrible up
a
name.
Video of her eating this stuff.
Pink Chef P, is it a noun or a verb? What is it? What the fuck?
I don't know what it is, but it's disgusting. The video went pretty viral. It has like 800K views now, and it's been a whole year, so.
Is that Pepto-Bismol?
Did you launch Chef P?
No, but it looks like it. That's what I thought it was. Honestly, I didn't know what pink sauce lady was or pink sauce was until I met Caleb and Ordinary Gamer and one other dude, the name escapes me. I was on a podcast with them. Nux Taku, shout out to you guys. And they're the ones that introduced me to pink sauce.
Let's go. Not pink sauce, no! And now it turned out she wasn't exactly ready for the level of virality that she
but it's
got
actually
in the amount of orders that she got.
Like the title, pink sauce, didn't scare me. It's what the visual that you showed me that bothered me. Because a pink sauce is basically a vodka sauce with pink peppercorns.
Well, no, it could also be guava.
Try it. Oh, true.
Yeah.
But we went to the visual, so ixnay on all that crap, eh?
I ordered like 5 bottles of it and mine were all refunded. And it, you know, the Bismol dipping sauce was very popular for a while. Here's her filling bottles in her kitchen. Pretty funny, her second video.
Oh, he's calling it Bismol dipping sauce.
Needless to say, things didn't exactly go all that well for Chef P because the pink sauce looks disgusting and a lot of people like me, assholes, were being rude and saying that it was neon and gross and disgusting and how could this be okay to eat? Has the FDA investigated this? People are going to get sick. How is it safe to transport that? Does she know what she's doing? Does she have any experience food manufacturing?
So she's, it's like in-house?
Yeah,
and just,
she's just making it out of her house and selling it online.
There's right. You
like that's a recipe for a fucking lawsuit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You open yourself up you to can, a
you,
lot.
You cannot just make something in your house, ball it up, and sell it. Like that's a recipe
There's
for
needs
disaster.
To be a chain of command, people. Yep. Chain of command.
Yes, this okay.
From from containers to ingredients to processing to storing to oh my god, it's on
it's
and
science.
On and
it's
on
science.
And on.
It's a completely different level of food production.
What food did I used to sell? Oh, dressing, and it was called French Kiss. And the reason I called French Kiss because it was a garlic dressing. You know how your breath stinks from garlic? Yeah. So I thought French Kiss was like an appropriate name for that dressing. Nobody steal that. That's trademark, people.
Now you're starting to see why I picked this video.
Chef P was just a normal lady who blew up and had an insanely high demand for a magical pink sauce.
Sign me up. Oh my God.
The demand was so fast,
it even looks like Pepto-Bismol bottles.
The ensuance of that. I will say she did claim this. I am known for having high quality everything I do. Do not come for me. The pink sauce definitely will have nutrition facts and is also going through quality testing before we begin shipping.
In her home kitchen. Yeah, fucking right. Bullshit.
Awesome. So with that being said, it's probably fine, right? Everything, you can just buy whatever you want from Chef P and you'll be fine. You'll be in the land of the living when you eat the delicious pink sauce that looks so yummy.
All that she did is she admitted guilt, though. That's still she did. She should have been better off.
That's me spewing pink.
Oh, wait, there are videos of people eating the sauce?
Chef P was inundated and people's orders were delayed.
So when I ordered it exactly a week ago, it said that's estimated to be here 2 days. But then this got sent out like a few days later, pretty much saying that they can't approve it until the 27th, which was only 2 days ago. And if I click the little track order thing, it just brings me here. And if I go to here to shop, it just says that your order's been confirmed. So I'm not sure it's ever gonna come.
They were uncertain if they'd ever get it. I, for example, ordered the stuff. I spent $120 on it and never got it. I was refunded, fortunately,
got it. $120 for how much?
Well, Caleb said he ordered 5 bottles. Still a lot. Still a lot.
Okay.
A bunch of people had their orders canceled.
So I ordered the pink sauce July 25th. Days after sauce was sold out, removed from site. I was reimbursed August 9th after being told my order would be fulfilled August 2nd.
Some people ate it and thought it was just disgusting.
That shit nasty.
That shit nasty.
It's decent.
It's decent.
Not decent enough to buy.
For $20,
and I don't really care for the taste.
This girl got the shits from it, she says.
And every day's a dream when I'm carrying your love.
Here's the nutritional label. It kind of looks disgusting. Sunflower seed oil. Seed oil. I don't really know, like, what in this is, I don't know, the pink sauce. It just looks weird. 400 servings? What?
444
servings per bottle.
Just make it 666.
Very strange. The product arrived rotten for some people, which is not good. That's because it's supposed to be refrigerated. It is a non-shelf stable thing.
When you bottle up anything, you have to make sure it goes into everything has to be sterile, right? Because if you put it in sterile and air seal it, then it becomes shelf stable to an extent.
Well, you still have to depend on how long of a shelf life.
Yeah, and then if you want a very long shelf life, like a, you know, a Hidden Valley Ranch dressing, you're putting in a shit ton of preservative.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why that shit sits on counters for fucking years without going bad. I know for a fact she doesn't have the knowledge to do that here. So she's making this
out. That's why I stopped it, because my dressing was becoming more, like, too many artificial. Like, I wanted, like, 5-6 ingredients, and that's it. And
you can't do it. Yeah, you want to do a nation. You want to sell that product statewide. You can't fucking do it. You have to sell it out of your shop, your restaurant, whatever. You know, get it in small quantities, and that's it. You can't go too far beyond that.
And I had to, like, I couldn't get a distributor here. It was so expensive. I was actually, I had to go to Seattle to do it, which made no sense. Yeah. That was like the cheapest version of the process.
So you had to ship it from New York.
No. I had to give up on that. I had to make them create a recipe and have it made there, and then I had to, and then
they
kept screwing it up.
Yeah.
And it was just frustrating.
Yeah, no bueno.
But I love the name.
The combination of oil, honey, vinegar, and like... That's nasty. That's nasty.
Oh my god.
Oof.
You're done.
You're done.
That is so fucking nasty, man. That is so disgusting. And it's, how about this from my favorite channel, Tea Spill?
When customers started to receive their pink sauce, it showed up with the bottle expanded and
When customers started to receive their bottle of pink sauce. They don't like me on Tea Spill. So, bad. A lot of inconsistencies. Bad. Another inconsistency was the declaration of allergens. Someone asked, is there an allergy warning, soy, nuts, etc.? She said, no soy. And then on the bag, it says may contain soy and eggs. That's a lot of dirty things. Soy and eggs in any one of the other products that's used.
Is she doing her own shipping too?
Pretty standard for food.
Probably.
You have to get tested to not have soy in order to be able to say no soy. Yep. So she's getting ahead of herself. There's probably no soy in it, but she can't guarantee that. One of the strangest and worst defenses for the whole situation, though, was one person found glitter in the bottle. Inedible silver glitter. What?
There is a piece of glitter inside the bottle. If you look here,
of glitter.
There is glitter all over the label, just like people say it's stuck on with glitter glue.
What the fuck? That is so dumb, dude. That is so bad. That's not good. A lot wrong with the stuff.
I forgot about this part.
Proper facilities or anything like that or infrastructure in place to make this thing as big as it was initially.
Okay, so let's see the downfall. What happened?
The sauce was also apparently so bad that a few people were hospitalized. I don't know if that's true or not, but people said they were. One person even faked their death from pink sauce.
So I'm not dead. So first and foremost, I want to say sorry if I scared y'all. I mean, that was my intent, but like not like this. Second off, I want to say to Chef P,
I'm not dead.
If I scared you at all or impacted your...
So stupid.
Dear Pink Sauce customers, thank you for your loyalty and patience as we bring Pink Sauce to life. Please rest assured that our Pink Sauce team is hard at work ensuring our Pink Sauce is safe and abiding by all food safety standards and guidelines. Furthermore, we are dedicated to providing our current and future customers with clear
accurate labels and descriptors of the pink sauce and its ingredients that meet and exceed FDA guidelines. We look forward to fulfilling your orders soon and delivering you the freshest pink sauce. I'll be in the kitchen. It's kind of an okay statement, but like at the same time, it's just not good.
That is a lawyer response.
Chef P disappeared for a while, then came back suddenly with a collab with this guy on the Caramo show.
I love it. I'm loving the food reviews. You know, my diet isn't loving it, but I'm loving it. Girl, listen,
is this a TV show?
Yeah, she appeared on a TV show.
Chef P.
Pink sauce is in Walmart, girl. Good for you. Congrats.
No way.
Yeah, she got in Walmart. Yep, yep. You and I, Paul, can truly accomplish anything. I believe now. After seeing pink sauce.
I did not see this going this way.
Oh, it goes better. It gets better. It gets better, Paul. Keep watching.
The interview is cringe. It's full of just weird softball questions, setting Chef P up to make it look like she's the victim.
Even down to someone lying about their own death. I mean, it was just horrible. And my son saw that video first. I walked in the door and just see my son laying on the floor like... Did my mom kill
you go
somebody?
Try. You tell me.
Chef P even says in the interview that people took the opportunity to shit on the product just to go viral because it was a trend, not because it was bad, because it was a trend. But there's plenty of examples of it just being terrible. She also called out Allie, the girl with the glitter in her bottle, specifically.
Okay, so there was a young lady on social media. She took it as the moment to say, hey, this is my moment to... become viral.
Yes, this is what social media is all about.
Yeah, for real.
it is my moment. I don't care about your moment. It's my moment. I'm doing it now. You're doing it now.
She starts crying, going on a tangent about how she's inspirational people. Very healthy behavior.
Why? That's it? But like, oh no, she's gonna, don't cry. Everything. There's no crying in restaurants.
And... you know, I was a teen mom. My kids are like my best friends.
Then they bring in Allie on the interview, which is awesome. She gets confronted by Chef PP, and it's just so bad.
Things were fabricated.
To be honest, you're not special. You're not special. Okay? So why should I lose my mind?
God, everyone clapping for her.
Jumps on Allie and just says that the situation is mostly her. It's so dumb. It makes no sense.
I think this is a moment of reflection.
Absolutely, and I think it's a moment of learning on both parts.
I think the learning is more on your part. And that one video that you did for that second, the
Oh man, he's getting on the wrong bandwagon.
But wait,
you'd be sitting here
there's
upset,
watch.
Crying, just keep... mad.
And this set people off terribly. That's why the episode has a lot of dislikes. And to save his reputation, he apologized to her in another episode, which makes sense.
But I want to tell you right now, I am sorry, just point blank, period, that I gaslit you.
So explain to me gaslit.
It's basically like trying to put an idea onto you that isn't true, right? So it's like, this is soda. Like, you don't think that's soda? That's soda. Like, that's
no, it's flat water.
Right. No, but like, it is flat water, but I'm trying to push onto you an idea.
But it says it on the label.
Yes. Do you get what gaslighting is?
I'm imposing my reality on your
reality. Right. You know, like,
my truth is.
Your truth is the only truth, and you're trying to push your truth onto somebody else. Right. That's why you hear
it. But in a negative way.
In a negative way, yes.
So it's trying to use a truth to put
overcomplicating.
Basically you're pushing your agenda that isn't correct.
Around this time, Chef P had a huge deal working with Dave's Gourmet to bring pink sauce to stores. Even Walmart. What the fuck? Look at it. It's just different colors. It's different colors. It's pink and then
look at that.
Pink.
Zero consistency. Different color bottle.
Why is it pink and why is it not?
Just what the hell
Walmart,
is in
like,
there?
Do any research? Do they care at all? They just want to support the hype.
Ooh.
Disgusting. The product didn't do well. It started getting
pink,
marked
pink
down.
Rainbow?
It wasn't selling, probably because it was tainted in the eye of the public. And it was also too expensive. $8 a bottle on release. That's ridiculous. It got put in clearance in multiple instances. Check this out.
So in case everyone was wondering how it's going for the pink sauce, it is in the clearance section. And if you're wondering how much, it is 50 cents. Oh my gosh.
That is fucking terrible.
Is that cheaper than the recycling?
With the Walmart deal in mind and the Dave's Gourmet deal in mind and all this stuff kind of coming crashing down, I assume there was some kind of guarantee between Chef P and Dave's Gourmet. They're not going to pay her if the product doesn't do terribly. You know, if you can't capitalize on an investment like that, then there's no money to be made. And this is clear because Chef P put out a post, GoFundMe, trying to raise $100,000 to prevent bankruptcy. Help get justice
for
the pink sauce.
Holy shit.
Told you, keeps getting better.
So it was a performance. It was a
performance-based
deal.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So for our audience, can you please let them know what's a performance-based deal?
That they only pay you as well as it performs. That's basically as simple as it gets. And so if you did not understand that, you're taking a big gamble.
So she probably spent money she didn't have, banking on the fact that she thought this sauce was going to go big.
Yeah.
Spent all this money she didn't have. Sauce did not sell. And she's not getting shit. And now the credit card bills are coming back. You know, mortgage or car payments are probably due. And she don't got money to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, if she put as much effort into that, just that snapshot into the food, maybe she would still have a chance, but oh my God.
But this is the double-edged sword of becoming viral, but it's just so much more.
You're just grabbing attention, and it could be good attention,
yes,
or it could be bad attention.
But also, it just makes the stakes so much higher with a food product. That's the thing. I personally feel when it comes to a food product, it gets so much more personal because you are, like, in many instances, invading someone's health. You know what I mean? And if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I mean, I make decisions like that at the restaurant on a daily basis. Like, if I have an employee that I can see, like, they don't know how to treat it right, like, I won't serve it until they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, like, what can we talk about? Like oysters.
Yeah.
Like, you got to make sure you serve fresh oysters. Mm-hmm. And there's a way of telling them if they're fresh. Like, just a simple fact of smelling them. If you're not even taking the time to smell something, you could ruin someone's day.
You can kill somebody.
Yeah.
Easily. And at the bare minimum, get them extremely sick.
One of the most viral sensations of 2022, a young entrepreneur with big dreams.
This is like the opposite of what happened to me. Currently facing eviction that has gone default. The sheriffs can come to my door any day now. I need legal help. Bro, what is going on? I need help. I can't give up. I need help. What? It only has $900. People are not very supportive of the Pink Sauce Woman after kind of hoodwinking everyone.
And when you see that,
making a bunch of money, and
that alone is advertisement not to give you any more money.
This is a terrible, terrible situation. She says in her thing that she made a few mistakes trusting Dave's Gourmet as a company that would pay her, and now they're trying to take everything away from her, which I'm sure that's probably not true. You can't just do that. She alleges that she's been lied to and that she's not being paid. This makes me think she signed a contract without reading it.
Yeah, this is a company, performance-based deal is they don't pay you out unless the product performs, right? So she probably got no advance, no nothing. She was just banking on this product will be successful, spent money she didn't have, and that's why she's broke as fuck. But she's using the, you know.
I mean, that works across the board. Like, book deals are made like that, too. Mm-hmm. What else? What else is in that same category of, like,
put out and then paid partnerships? Like, you know, for many YouTubers, they usually get paid a base rate, but certain brands will pay you out a bonus if you get certain,
if you hit
more,
a mark.
Right, if you hit a mark of, in, you know, of conversions into actual sales, right? Because I can put an ad on my channel all day long, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to convert into sales.
Call me distrustful, but I feel like this is probably more to this situation. Chef P doesn't exactly give me the vibe of someone who does a lot of due diligence. Coming from someone who did a lot of due diligence.
Thank you.
Chef P, we're on the same page here.
I told you you'd like this guy.
I know. Right? And he's very eloquent, and because I would have choice words to say. And I'm just running through like.
Everyone wants the uncensored version of Paul, but Paul also wants a career in YouTube. So we are getting the PG, not the PG-13. What you guys get, what?
You're getting PG-13 right now.
Yeah. No, PG. No,
we're getting PG right now.
No, on camera, they get the PG version of you.
Because
not the X-rated. I know the R-rated version of you.
R-rated for sure.
Pulling on the heartstrings after a massive failure and kind of a weird borderline, I don't want to say scam because it wasn't really a scam, but just a train wreck of a situation. It's not working. The GoFundMe's not working. It's just gone more viral. The Dex, it's all over.
She's just adding fuel to the misery.
It's ridiculous, man. I mean, 8.6 million views, my video, a bunch of other videos, and still not even $1,000. People genuinely just do not care. People even kept track of how many dollars the GoFundMe made in relation to how many views posts were getting. The GoFundMe has added $15 and 6.1 million views.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, that's bad. That's not good. I don't think they're going to hit 100K.
Anything you do, you have to do some homework.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, cut me off a piece of that sorry.
Help yourself. All right. Yes. Lots of fun. So we gave you some education and we gave you some stupidity. Hope you all enjoyed it.
That's a good share of stupidity there.
Yeah, that's a good share of stupidity. Now, real quick, let's see some news for us. We are headed to Miami in a week. We are going to collab with Guga. By the time this episode comes out, we'll probably have come back already. But we are leaving in a week. Got to spend a few days with Guga. Will be Guga's first time meeting Frenchie. Frenchie's first time meeting Guga. And that was my laptop. Don't worry about it. Are you excited, buddy?
I'm very excited.
What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to, like, holding his pudgy hands?
No, I want to cuddle. Are we going to walk in? Hello? How are you? It's going to be more like, oh, hermano. Hermano.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, he's not Spanish. He's Portuguese. He's
Brazilian.
Oh, so what's
which they speak Portuguese. Yes. So let's end this podcast with some viewer questions.
On a sour note?
I put on Patreon, you can join my Discord, which there'll be a link down below, and ask questions over there. But I always prioritize my patrons, so please consider becoming a patron as well. Link in the description below. Buddy, you ready to answer some viewer questions?
Hit me.
Okay, let's see. Dean S. Monahan asks, if you weren't a chef, what career path do you think you would have went down?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Porn star.
No. I get icky. Ugh. I'm very, no. I get skeeved out very easily, so no. I was very good growing up at combat sports mm-hmm. and racing. I like solitary sports. Same. I love risk to life type of sports. Like, you could die. I did all combat sports. My father was a fanatic at making, trying to teach me to be a good, to have self-defense, right? Mm. He's ex-military and everything like that. And it was just important for him to, for me to
he
be able.
He fought in World War II, right?
He's not that old, motherfucker.
Okay.
No. He's not that old. I mean, he lived through it, yes.
Yeah.
So he is that old, but just not.
Okay. Got it.
I enjoyed that a lot. I was very good at it until this girl gave me an elbow to the temple and I called it quits.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't matter about size. If you have talent, you can KO anybody.
Yeah.
And that's when the literal light bulb went off because I was seeing stars for days.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's see. If you're asking me, honestly, my answer is quite boring. I would just play guitar in a rock band, which I still kind of do.
Don't you play bass? Play
electric guitar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God, you fucking terrible friend. My goodness. Charisse Douglas, we kind of answered this in the last podcast, but how did you two meet? When did you both know that the other would be a mainstay in your life? Oh, that's a good part of the
question. Ooh, that second part of the question is good.
The second part of the question is good, yeah.
I would say, I still, I have, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the very first time that we physically met,
wasn't
there an escalator going down to that thing? And I'm coming down the escalator.
Todd English Food Hall, James Beard Party.
It was James Beard Party. Yeah. And weren't you at the bottom at the escalator?
So at the bottom of the escalator was Lady M Crepe Cakes. And this is when Lady M Crepe Cakes was the shit. Like it was at the top of its game, exploded.
Is that the dessert with the multi-layered grapes?
Yeah.
I love those.
It's good, right?
They're like every Japanese restaurant. They have like that as a dessert, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're huge now. But right at the bottom of the escalator was Lady M, and they were fucking for free. I was stuffing my face on a crepe cake with my wife. And then you came down the stairs, and when you came, it was like this.
I did that Trump entrance?
Yeah, you did the Trump entrance. And I was like, it's that fucking arrogant asshole from the same season as me. And I just went up to you and introduced myself. I don't know, was I brave enough to like ask you for your number? I don't know how we just like, or did we just bump into each other again later?
But at that time, I think if I'm correct, there's like a picture with Men Who Dine.
Yes,
Gennaro and.
Yeah, Gennaro and Alan.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a third at the time.
No, not at that time. I think the third guy was
already going, got bumped?
Yeah, I think so.
Or left or something?
Something like that.
I still talk to Gennaro.
Yeah, Gennaro's great. He came to visit me at the shop when it
opened. Oh, man, he's great.
He's a great guy. Great guy. Love that guy.
Sexy Italian.
You are right. That we did not exchange. We took a photo. I just always remembered you as the arrogant asshole on season one. And then they were hosting
a
dinner. I
had that before season one.
You still have that. You have it after season one. The Men Who Dine, who are no longer, you know, we're... they arranged a dinner with various chefs and you were there. And I think we were probably sat next to each other or something like that.
And we hit it off.
And we just hit it off. And that was it. Yeah.
Because we can't call it love at first sight because we obviously...
I remember we did karaoke.
We did karaoke?
We have a photo of us doing karaoke. Actually, that is the photo I used.
That's the same night?
I think it wasn't the same night, but I think that was the third time we hung out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, look at... I am buff there. I'm like skinny and... Whoa, that's sexy me. What
we'll
year is
give
that?
It a shot for love. What song is that? That's the lyrics on the screen right now. I don't remember what year that is, but that is definitely us. That's
a Bon Jovi song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that is a Bon Jovi song. Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I did his charity too. Did you ever do his charity?
Nah. I'm not cool like you.
I'm super cool, yes. That's true.
But yeah, that photo is from like maybe the third time we were hanging out. And
you sure it's not like even much later than that? Because karaoke, who... Franklin Becker is a big karaoke fan.
Yeah. Yeah, Franklin was there, for
right?
sure. Yeah.
Oh, so Becker, that's a Franklin Becker evening.
Yeah.
But it has to be around Food and Wine Festival that we were all together.
I don't remember. It's too long ago.
It has to be.
But we definitely clicked.
Let me see the shirt. Oh, oh, it's definitely riding my motorcycle. Because that's like the shirt that I wear, like I didn't care about it. Mm-hmm. Like that would be, that would get covered with soot and everything like that.
Right. Let's do one more question before we close out this episode.
Just one? No. Let's do a few more.
Do a few more? Okay, you're having fun with this?
I'm liking this.
All right.
Because it's off the cuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
Oh, this is a good question. Sangsura asks, imagine that you are going to cook dinner for the other person and their family. What do you prepare and why?
I've done it 100 times. Yeah,
you know, good point. We've done it for each other. No, you've never taken your family to my restaurants.
I took Blondie.
You took Blondie? Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, no, I made it a point. We had a great night that night, too. Yeah.
Was that at Mira? Was that at the sushi restaurant in Flatiron?
Yeah.
Maybe it was at Beauty in Essex.
No, it wasn't Beauty in Essex. No? It was your place.
Okay.
So it was before. But I took her there, too, right? I took her to
Beauty in
Essex,
definitely took her to Beauty
in Essex. But that wasn't the same.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that when it was your place and you sat down with us and we had like the night to ourselves. It was good.
Yes. I do remember that. Yeah. So we have cooked for each other.
Yeah, we've
cooked for each other our signature dishes.
I mean, we have availability. We have a restaurant, so it's of course we did.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we translate that into at home?
Okay, let's talk about what we would make for each other at home.
First of all, it would have to be away from this locale. Because over here, the temptation to not cook and just grab stuff that's ready would be too tempting.
I agree.
Ever since I'm in Jersey now, man, I love to barbecue, man.
Mm.
So I think I would barbecue. But like on a French note, you know what I mean? And get...
You know what's funny? What's funny is like I would do the exact same thing, more on a Korean note.
Right?
1,000%.
Why? Because we... Shit that we don't like... I don't want to cook what I cook here. I want to cook stuff that I'm not cooking.
Yeah.
I did barbecue yesterday.
Yeah.
And all I did was like put vegetables on the grill, chicken. Oh, I had a pesto sauce and I used that to cover everything and put that in the grill. That was it. Mm. Took me all of 10 minutes to make everything.
I would definitely make you Korean barbecue short ribs. I'd probably make you like a fresh kimchi salad, you know, stuff like that.
Have your winning...
The tacos?
Didn't you do a banh mi on baked Bobby Flay?
Or no, I did a taco.
You did a taco?
You had multiple tacos.
I did?
Yeah. Of course. All right. Let's see. Wait a second.
You didn't do the traditional thing? You did a taco?
Yeah, but I did a hard shell taco with a wonton skin. Jordan, pull up my episode, Beat Bobby Flay Season 1, Terror of Taco Town.
Wait, so you beat him in his own, own like recipe?
Yeah, that's why I swear I've been blacklisted by Food Network because of him.
No, dude. Like, come on. We know that I should have won my episode.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And like, I mean, I was like...
He had just put out his burger chain at that time. So I don't think he could have taken two...
He couldn't take a loss.
Yeah, two... Because I was the first episode filmed of the season, but my episode didn't come out later. And I only know that because the producer told me.
Because sheer fact that how much my episode is viewed is like they repeat it all the fucking time.
Do you get like congratulation texts this day? Like someone sees the episode like, oh, congrats.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah, I get it once in a blue moon.
But I forget about it. I'm like, what the fuck did I do now? I always think it's a bad thing. That's the problem. I don't automatically think of a good thing. I always think it's like a sarcastic, like, yeah, fuck, thank you. Like, this is what you did to me. It's never a positive, oh, thank you. No. Oh, I'm like, oh, man. What the fuck did I say or do now?
Ice Fox asks, okay, first, is Frenchie going to guest star more often on your main YouTube channel?
Yeah, of course.
And for a second question, if money was no worries, what kind of restaurant would you do besides your main specialty? Like, what would you do something like Guys does only on an actual restaurant, or would it be something else? I think they're just asking if money was no factor, what kind of restaurant would we open?
If money was no factor...
I remember one concept that you told me a long time ago that I thought was really cool, that I knew that you could pull off really well, but I don't know if you remember, it was years ago.
Tell me.
You wanted to do French Mexican.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was a sick idea.
So instead of Tex-Mex, French Mex.
Yeah.
Trademark. I own that. Yeah. French Mex, I own it.
Like I
literally do.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
I knew that would be a banging concept.
Yeah, that would be... That's something we could always explore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should try. We should test concepts out. Maybe that's what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. Is Tech Dude? kill two birds with one stone, trying out concepts and see if it'll work. And if it doesn't, like it. it doesn't.
Yeah, we're just testing it and filming it at
and
the
it's,
same time.
And it's in line, so if you want to get fat, what better way than testing out concepts?
I mean, theoretically, it obviously has to be okay with you, but you know, we could do a pop-up here.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that, like, French Max, I always think there's like a good, you know, there's that old, you know, people don't even know what Cinco de Mayo is. First of all, it's a made-up holiday.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Anheuser-Busch or Budweiser or one of those companies that created it. But and it's based...
And if that's not true, we are getting lots of angry comments right now.
I don't care.
There are Mexicans right now just going, how fucking dare you, with their hairlines to their eyebrows, just pissed off.
Cinco de Mayo is not a Mexican...
Listen, I say that because I'm jealous.
Okay, Cinco de Mayo is not a Mexican holiday, okay? That's an American holiday.
American manufactured holiday.
But Cinco de Mayo is really a celebration of the Mexican army beating the French army.
Really?
Yes, because France owned most of America from Canada.
Oh, yes.
All the way down the Mississippi, all the way down into Mexico.
Yep.
And the Mexicans...
Totally forgot about that.
And there's a famous battle
where
the French Foreign Legionnaires, they were like, the Mexican army descended on this fortress, this French fortress, and decimated them. And then it was like a last stand. It was like three French Foreign Legionnaires left. And then like, cause they kept getting barrages of hit and decimated. And there were still three French Legionnaires left. And then the three French Legionnaires still charged the army. And like, so the they're like,
so and, then the last
and,
man
the,
standing.
And the Mexican general took pity and spared their lives for their bravery. So that was like the end of the, that was the end of that battle.
You know, last time you told a story about the arrow and the middle finger, people shit all over you saying that it's a myth and stuff like that. And
I actually thought about it. it's two different stories.
Right, right. But hey, it does. It's fun. It's fun at the end of the day. And people, listen.
Dude, we are not experts.
We will be the first to tell you we're pretty fucking dumb. I mean, like, look.
Take it as entertainment, not.
This is the photo I put when I say, ask me anything, okay? So, just to give you an idea of who you're listening to.
Yeah, but
to,
that's. Right? You see, as long as there's passion in what we're doing, and that's passion.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, we
could be yelling out tickets, we could be blaring out a song.
Yeah, we fuck with some Bon Jovi for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like this one. Zoe Mac. Ronan asks, most pretentious trends in the restaurant industry that you and Frenchie think need to disappear, other than salt bae, because no beating a dead horse. I'm glad you brought up salt bae, because I actually plan to have us react to Guga going to Salt Bae Steakhouse. So that episode's to come.
That's a tricky road for me, because I have degrees of separation.
Uh-oh.
So.
Wait. Does La Frida supply them?
They're going out of business here.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's well known. All right. What trends annoy you?
Besides Salt Bae, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Like...
Oh, you know
what? I don't like waste, right? So what's the biggest waste and show-off waste is like at the club, you know, popping bottles and wasting... these expensive bottles and everything like that.
I know exactly what you mean. I think it's a show of prosperity type of thing.
I hate that.
Yeah, I've never
I don't up. Like waste. Any waste of food or drink is, that should be taken off. Mm. But I'm trying to think of something that's trendy that right now that's like.
You know what's a trend that I liked in the beginning that I grew to not like?
Tell me.
The eggs on top of everything. On top of everything.
Well,
like, I don't think an egg needs to be on everything.
Yeah. Well, it's more affordable than truffles.
Yeah, true. True that.
Because that's another trend. Like, nah, it doesn't... Truffles don't need to be on everything.
You know what's a... Actually, I know exactly. I know one that I don't like, and it's more of a general trend, which is social media visual food. So much food now is created on social media to be visually striking, but if you really, and I'm not saying all
if you're
of
gonna
them,
eat it, you're like, if you're eating, like you see these paintings, it's like, oh, that looks beautiful, but like, I know just by looking at it that it's gonna taste awful.
Right, it's eye-catching, it's over the top, it's like caviar on Wagyu, on fucking uni, and don't get me wrong, each one of those ingredients are fucking amazing, but
I just swallowed the wrong way.
Oh gosh. That's one trend that I don't like, when they make food that is particularly visual. And I remember working at restaurants where I was being pushed to do stuff like that to make viral content. And I get it, it's a marketing tool, but I don't like it. I fucking hate it.
You know, there's definitely, we call that eye candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I do have issue with that, because like, eye candy is difficult to prepare.
Yep.
And I hate it on a whole different level. It's like, you have to touch it. And you know how I get skeeved out. I don't like anybody touching my food.
Yep.
Like, it's gotta, I have to be able to do with tools. I don't wanna see somebody touching my food. I'm like, it just grosses me out. So I know for a fact that like, intricate, detailed, elaborate, like most of the time has been touched too much already.
That was a lot of fun. We will definitely continue to do viewer comments.
But like my teacher said, can do better. We will strive to do better.
I hope you guys are enjoying these podcasts as much as we are. Let us know if you have any criticism, suggestions, or ideas as we prepare to launch this new channel of ours. But this is...
And do we have any asks, too?
Like, do we have any what?
Asks. Is that a word? Can I say that? Do we have any requests? Like, we get requests, like, we're getting questions, so can we pop some questions out there?
Yeah, what do you want to pop? Oh, you know, we should remind people, so this is our new digs, and we want to...
The fan art.
Yeah, we mentioned this in the last, here, I'm going to let you present the Fosby.
Come on, that's great, come on.
No, it is great, I like it. So we want to decorate our new digs with your art. In the description below, we will put the address. We will put the address... where you can mail your fan art to. Please remember to put a return address, but also include a piece of paper that has your preferred t-shirt size. The first dozen to send us fan art will get a shirt, and as long as you provide us with the t-shirt size, we will send you the size that
and
you request.
And these are true to size t-shirts.
All right, can you tell everybody what the Fosby is?
Well, the Fosby is the French onion soup burger. So you got your French flag. It used to be the Eiffel Tower, but people couldn't figure it out. So we had to change that real quick.
Is that Italian?
So French onion soup burger.
The Fosby.
The Fosby.
Yeah, turn it around. Show them Fosby.
Hashtag Fosby.
Nice. All right, everyone. Hope you had fun, because we certainly did. This is the This is So You Want to Get Fat podcast. I am not your typical chef, Brian Sound.
Hey, wait. What's the hashtag on our Swift? What did we decide on?
Oh, Swigv.
Swift?
Yeah, Swift.
So you think.
So you want to get fat. Swig?
Swig.
Swig.
Swig. Seawig.
Seawig.
Swig. That's how we're, that's it.
Seawig. Swig. All right. That's our hashtag.
That's our hashtag.
SYWGF. Podcast.
We need to start using that.
I am Chef Brian Sow, not your typical chef.
I am Chef Paul Dunamiel, Paul the Animal.
Guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you really soon.
We need to like da na 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 na